to come forward and read our scripture for us. Reading Exodus chapter 31, and you'll find that on page 65 in your Bible. She'll be reading from a different version, but she will not be reading it in Romanian, though her Bible is bilingual.
Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with Spirit of God in wisdom, understanding, in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, to design artistic works, to work in gold, in silver, in bronze, in cutting jewels for settings, in carving wood, and to work in all manner of workmanship. And I, indeed I, have appointed with him Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, and I have put wisdom in the hearts of all the gifted artisans, that they may make all that I have commanded you, the tabernacle of meeting, the ark of testimony, and the mercy seat that is on it, and all the furniture of the tabernacle, the table and its utensils, the pure gold lampstand with all its utensils, the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offering with all its utensils, and the laver and its base, the garments of ministry, the holy garments for Aaron, the priest, and the garments for his sons to minister as priests, and the anointing oil and sweet incense for the holy place. According to all that I have commanded you, they should do." And the Lord spoke to Moses again, "Speak also to the children of Israel, saying, 'Surely my Sabbaths you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. You should keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. For whoever does any work on it, that person should be cut off from among his people. Work should be done for 6 days, but the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Therefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And when he made an end of speaking with him on Mount Sinai, he gave Moses 2 tablets of the testimony, tablets of stones written with the finger of God. This is the word of the Lord."
Thanks be to God. Usually you don't find the word sacrilege connected with the Spirit and Sabbath, but we will have that today, unfortunately. It's reality. So how many of you have ever just been given an opportunity, an assignment to do something, and you thought, how hard could that be? Anybody experienced being asked to do something, or someone said, would anyone be willing to do that? And you said, of course, I can do that. I know when I was in college and we were no longer on the meal plan, I told my roommates, I can cook. Of course I can. We have pilaf all the time. I'll handle the pilaf. And I think I even said, how hard could it be? And because my roommates had my parents' pilaf, my mom's pilaf, they said, fantastic. So I went to cooking, and you know, my mom had used this expression, and I don't even know if she used it correctly, but she always warned against making lampa pilaf. Lampa pilaf, at least in our house, that meant the really soggy stuff that when you lifted it up and turned the spoon over, it stuck. When my roommates tried to dig in to that delicious pilaf, that first time that I cooked it, we'll just say that, well, one of them did say, if I throw this against the wall, do you think it'll stick? It would have. It absolutely would have. And another time I was so full of confidence, I went to Lebanon, remember, in 1997, 98, and I was going to learn Armenian. And so early on, the youth organization said, Badvili Greg, would you be willing to speak at our summer camp? It was September. Camp wasn't until July. How hard could it be? Of course I could do that. I'm going to study all year long. Sure. I'm in. Well, they believe me. And we'll just say that when I got to the camp, I realized, well, before I got to the camp, this was going to be bad. And as a matter of fact, I'm not going to be able to do it. And it's about the kids. And so I thought, wow, I'm lucky I know this young lady who might be able to translate for me. So I bothered Sosi, and it's a great excuse to spend a little more time with her. But anyway, apart from that, I thought I was so filled with confidence, but I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. Anybody else? I mean, are you thinking of the times where you said, I can do that? I love watching children climb things. And we have this, what's it called? At our men's retreat, there's this climbing ladder and obstacle course. What's it called, men? It's the ropes course. Is there a name for it?
Vertigo.
Vertigo goes up about 30 or 40 feet, and certain people like Daniel Kushigin can just sort of scamper all the way up to the top, jump off from it, and come gliding down with the belay. And you know, there's something when an old person sees a young person do something like that. We can do that. That vertigo has been the humble pie for many of us in our 20s, 30s, 40s, and beyond. The kids can just do it easily. A little harder for us. See, at this point in the story in Exodus, God has given commands, right? The Ten Commandments, we've looked at those. And you might be thinking, how hard is this? There's only 10. Unless you look at your life and say, oh. And while you might admit that you might have a tough time with some of the commandments, when you read Matthew and Jesus says it's not just about actually ending someone's life, it's actually about hating them or being angry at them, or it's not just about literal adultery, but it's lust. It's like, oh. We might think that's just not fair, that God would ask us to do something that would be so hard. But it gets worse because, and we haven't read through it, I hope you've taken the time to read through the portions in Exodus 20 where God tells them all the things that they're going to have to do to make his tabernacle or his tent. Remember, God is so gracious and is so loving to his people. They're living in tents. God says, I will localize my presence and I'm going to dwell right in the midst of your camp. But in order for me to do that, we're going to set up some boundaries. You're going to have place to wash, a place to offer sacrifices. There's going to be a lampstand with fire. There's even going to be this ark, this big box that we're going to have, and there's going to be a mercy seat on top, and it's going to have to be done the way I've told you to do it. Now, I imagine that the people of Israel, having come out in glorious release from slavery in Egypt, and having gone through the Red Sea on dry ground, they might have been thinking, we're all that. We're God's people. He rescued us. Sure, we can handle that. We can do that. Hey, you want to handle the gold? And honey, do you mind handling the linens and that sort of thing? You're good at that. You really made Junior's, you know, his tunic really nicely. How about you do that? And I can imagine the people of Israel saying, we got this. God, you want us to build you a tent? We're good with ours. We can do that for you. But see, that's not how God operates. God actually doesn't ask for volunteers. Yeah, church does. But God doesn't ask for volunteers. God actually, did you hear how Christine read that? God is the one who provides the skill for his people. He says, see, I have chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with wisdom, with understanding, with knowledge of all kinds of skills to make artistic designs for the work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of crafts. Moreover, I have appointed Aholiab, the son of Ahisamak, of the tribe of Dan, to help him. Also, I have given ability to all the skilled workers to make everything I have commanded you. And then he lists all the things that he asks. We have to get this very clearly, that God does not ask us to accomplish anything. Get this. God does not ask us to accomplish anything he does not provide the power to perform. God does not ask us to do anything, to accomplish anything that he does not provide the power to perform. God empowers what he commands. God empowers what he commands. But that implies that whatever you or I bring to the table is inadequate. Do you hear that? Whatever you or I bring to God, these are my skills, God, this is my wisdom, these are my great ideas. And God says, okay, thanks, but I don't think so. See, it's only the Holy Spirit. Only the Holy Spirit gives the skill to do God's will, God's way. See, the word that's used here for wisdom is a skill. It's not philosophy. In biblical language, Socrates would not have been wise. Plato would not be wise. A wise person is someone who has skill to do something. See, even in Proverbs, when we hear of wisdom, it's not this philosophical bent. It's the skill of living life in a way that pleases God. And here, these people needed to have a special skill that only the Holy Spirit could provide to do God's work, God's way. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. What that means is each one of us needs to be listening, saying, God, what have you called me to? God, what have you gifted me to do? What skill do I have to serve you? And the moment you think, oh, I can do this really well, I can do this really well, take a moment to pause and say, Lord, is that a gift from you? Is that a gift from you? Or do I just use my skill to try to accomplish your will my way? I've done that. And I'm pretty sure you have as well. The Holy Spirit gives his gifts, enabling us to have certain skills that there's no question that it's him and not us. Have you experienced that? You may even be a great teacher. But you know that when you're leading a Bible study that something's happening that's a bit more than you. You may even be a fantastic builder. You can construct things, but somehow there's a difference when God's hand is in it and you know it, and you just sort of keep quiet a little bit. You can't brag. See, when the Holy Spirit works, we can do God's will His way. But in order to do God's will, we don't just need a spirit, believe it or not. He also provides the Sabbath. Because only God makes us holy. So the Lord told to Moses, say to the Israelites, and this is the third time that we have recorded, you must observe my Sabbaths. This will be a sign between me and you and for the generations to come, so that you may know that I am the Lord who makes you holy. I'm the Lord who sets you apart. I'm the Lord that distinguishes you. See, honestly, in the 21st century, discussion of Sabbath, at least in the United States, has become more and more about us. We run around like chickens with our heads cut off, just going from one task to another. We're so busy, we've got our planners going, we have our phones that list everything, we have reminders that are telling us, oh, you gotta get this done, you gotta get this done. And so when we think of Sabbath, it's like, oh yeah, I've gotta make sure I take time off for me. That's not what the Sabbath is about. The Sabbath is about taking time off for God. It's about Him, because it's only Yahweh, only the Lord, who distinguishes His people. Is what sets you apart your skills, your brains, your background, your accomplishment? Or is it something that's beyond you, and all of us can tell that you may be a really amazing person, but you know what sets you? There's something about you that's different. See, God designed the Sabbath so we would stop, so that there would be no question among the people of God, what are we having for dinner on Saturday evening? We're having manna. Because God provided that. Years later, what are we having for dinner? Well, I'm not going to go out and do it in the morning because it's a Sabbath. Whatever we have has been provided by God. You know, you couldn't be a workaholic in Israel, as an obedient Hebrew, because you had to stop. Sundown on Saturday till the sun went down on Sunday, you didn't get to work. Okay, farmers. How's that work during harvest season? I was floored the year I served in Dinuba. We had a number of farmers, and they were so committed to being distinct for Christ, they would not, even on harvest, go out. And they said, we're just going to have to trust God that whatever is on the trees, whatever is on the vines, it is going to have to wait. And one of them, great guy, said, you know, do you think this applies to our workers too? Can we just let them go out and do it? And then one of the guys who knows his Bible really well said, no, it says here we can't even let our animals go out. Do you know, because I asked them, do you know that they never lost anything from their crops when they waited a day? Or it might have, if harvest lasted several weeks, when they took the time off? And everybody, because every farmer knows what every other farmer's doing, it distinguished them. Those are the people that God looks after. Those are the people that God looks after. I'm curious, is that your reputation? Is that what distinguishes you among your peers? Do they look at you and they look at your success? They look at everything good about you? Do they praise your parents? Oh, look where she comes from. She's got a great heritage. Is it your hard work? Or is it your relationship with God? See, God has given commands. God gave the Israelites the responsibility of building the tabernacle, building his tent. And he provides his Spirit, and he provides the Sabbath. Because the Sabbath is just one of those things that forces us into a position of dependence. I mean, imagine getting ready for a race. This morning, the Berlin Marathon, the record was broken. The guy ran it in an unbelievably fast time. Believe it or not, more than twice as fast, if I actually finish it. It'll be more than twice as fast as I can do it. Imagine that. Imagine at the start of a race, ready, set, wait. We're supposed to run. We're supposed to get going. But God has put the Sabbath right there at the end of every week to stop us in our tracks, to say, God, it's you. It's you who distinguishes me. It's you. We read that when the Lord finished speaking to Moses on Mount Sinai, he gave him 2 tablets of the covenant law, the tablets of stone inscribed by the finger of God. When the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, "Come, make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses, who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what happened to him." Meanwhile, back at camp, anytime you have heard that in a story, you know something is not going to happen the way it should. And the Bible is no different. Maybe this is where they even got the idea of meanwhile back at camp. This guy, Moses, I mean, seriously? We have this thing that my dad, I don't know why, but all growing up, if he couldn't remember someone's name, he would say, whatchamacallit? You know, whatchamacallit? 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 And it's as if the Hebrews are, and they're saying, whatchamacallit? You know the guy that went up on the mountain? Oh, yeah, the one who led us out of slavery? Moses? Yeah, this is the guy. And it's been 40 days, and we got to get going. God's got this land of milk and honey for us. We got to get moving. You got to make us some gods, Aaron. So Aaron answered him, "Take off your gold earrings that your wives, your sons, and your daughters are wearing, and bring them to me." So that all the people took off their earrings and brought them to Aaron. He took what they handed him and made it into an idol cast in the shape of a calf, fashioning it with a tool. Do you think God gave him the skill to make an idol? Here, we'll go back to that in a second. Then they said, "These are your gods, Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt." When Aaron saw this, he built an altar in front of the calf and announced, "Tomorrow there will be a festival to the Lord, festival to Yahweh, the cow." So the next day the people rose early, sacrificed burnt offerings, and presented fellowship offerings. Sounds good so far, almost. Afterward, they sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. Lucky God's up on the mountain. Lucky God is nowhere to be seen. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go down, because your people whom you brought up out of Egypt have become corrupt. They have been quick to turn away from what I commanded them and have made themselves an idol cast in the shape of a calf. They have bowed down to it and sacrificed to it and said, 'These are your gods, Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt.' I have seen this people," the Lord said to Moses. "They are stiff-necked people. Now leave me alone so that my anger may burn against them and I may destroy them. Then I will make you a great nation, into a great nation." But Moses sought the favor of the Lord. "Lord," he said, Why should your anger burn against your people whom you brought out of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say it was with evil intent that he brought them out to kill them in the mountains and to wipe them off the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce anger, relent, and do not bring disaster on your people. Remember your servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, to whom you swore by your own self, I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and I will give you your descendants all the land I promised them, and it will be their inheritance forever. And the Lord relented and did not bring on his people the disaster he had threatened. See, meanwhile, back at the camp, there was impatience. They wanted to get what God had given them. They were like, let's go. We don't need Moses. Aaron, we've got you. All we need is an idol, and then we've got the one who led us out of slavery. He'll lead us into the promised land. Let's go, let's go, let's go. And Aaron went with the disobedience, and it became a disaster. When you or I are unwilling to wait on the Holy Spirit, when we're unwilling to wait in Sabbath, putting Christ first, we become impatient, leads to disobedience, which leads to disaster. Because God really isn't so far away behind some star. He is right present with us. Every act of disobedience that I perform, that I even contemplate, is in the presence of Almighty God, is in the presence of the one who gave his only son to take my place. Everything is stripped bare before him. We need the Spirit. We need the Sabbath. Otherwise, it does lead to sacrilege. And it leads to judgment. And well, we'll come back to Moses' prayer. Moses comes down from the mountain with the two tablets. You know what he does with them, right? These were from the hand of God. What does he do with those tablets? He throws them down. They shatter. How dare he? How dare Moses throw down the very word of God inscribed on stone? He was expressing the heart of God. God wanted to destroy them. Moses just destroyed the tablets. And it was very clear what God's heart was. He comes down, he sees Joshua. Joshua says, hey, there's singing in the camp. What's going on? We're going here. And Moses takes the idol, destroys that, punishes the people, and then comes to Aaron and said, in verse 21 of chapter 32, what did these people do to you that you led them into such great sin? What did they do? Did they tie your hands behind their back? Did they grab your wife and kids and say, we're going to kill you? We're going to kill them? What did they do to you? Do not be angry, my lord, Aaron answered. No, it's not my brother, my lord. You know how prone these people are to evil. They said to me, make gods who will go up before us. As for this fellow Moses, who brought us out of Egypt, we don't know what happened to him. So I told them, whoever has any gold jewelry, take it off. They gave me the gold, and I threw it into the fire, and out came this calf. You've never done that, have you? Yeah, I mean, it just happened. I don't even know how I lied. I was just telling the story, and all of a sudden it became a bigger and bigger and bigger thing. Or, wait a minute. I was late. It was only a couple of minutes late. No, as a matter of fact, it was an hour and a half. We change the truth when we're confronted with our sin. Why do you think Aaron lied? Couldn't have been because he thought he could get away with it. He lied. He said it just happened. Now, he didn't have the skill given by the Holy Spirit. He didn't have wisdom to make a calf. See, that was his contribution. And again, I want to warn us. Some of us are so skilled in so many ways that we can just assume that what we can do is from God. Take a step back. God, is this skill from you? Is this what you want to use? Take a Sabbath and say, God, it's not my skill that distinguishes me. It's you. God, how can I fit into your plans? See, and then came judgment. But Moses prayed, and we'll finish with this. Moses prayed for them. He appealed to God. He appealed to God's character. He appealed to God's promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. And he said no to having his own nation. Old whatchamacallit wanted to stay whatchamacallit. And he wanted all the glory to be God's. God fulfilling his word, God fulfilling his promises. And so God, instead of judging all the people, covers it with his mercy. See, God gives us his spirit. God gives us his Sabbath, and every one of us has spurned both of them. You don't need to be afraid. The same God who extended mercy to the people of Israel will extend mercy to us. This is our God. We don't need to make up anything or anyone to be our leader, to lead us into the promised land. We have the living God. See, Tim and Noel dedicated their children this morning. Do we expect Tim and Noel to be super parents? Well, they are pretty impressive after all, right? Look at their families that they come from. Is that going to be what distinguishes them and their family? Mm-mm. It'll be the Holy Spirit giving them wisdom to fashion out of these three beautiful children, followers of Jesus Christ. It'll be them taking intentional steps back and saying, God, you're the one who is going to distinguish this generation of nightingales. But it's not just them. This is the offer for all of us, that we can have his Holy Spirit, that we can take Sabbath, and we can avoid idolatry, we can avoid sacrilege. That's God's offer to each one of us this morning. Amen. Please stand to receive the benediction. Yevhimam erder Jesus Christos ishnorka, horas zosera, yevsur pokvuin harataksutuna, mer amanun het Allah. And now may the God of all grace, who calls us to his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, may he himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish each one of us by his Spirit. May he be the one who distinguishes us so that through our lives, he is glorified. Amen.